Well, ceremonies conducted today all over the world, including at the site of the Auschwitz concentration camp, to commemorate the 60th anniversary of the liberation of that camp. Our next guest was 9 years old when she arrived at Auschwitz in the summer of 1944. After surviving a series of other horrific ghettos and camps, she actually lived in a barracks run by the infamous Dr. Joseph Mengele. And on this particular day, we are grateful to have her join us to share some of her memories of that terrible time. Ruth Weber is on the line with us right now. Hello, Ruth.
Hello.
Thank you for coming on with us.
You're welcome.
I understand that you actually were considering going to Auschwitz but canceled your trip. Why?
I canceled my trip because I felt that emotionally it was much too hard for me to be again in Auschwitz in winter, when my life at that time in 1945 was the lowest point in my life. And I worked very hard to have a, quote, normal life. And I just didn't want to jeopardize that.
With the ugly memories. I know that these are difficult memories for you to go through again, although I imagine they're hard to get out of your head. But for the sake of particularly some of our younger audience who may not know what the Holocaust was all about and just how horrific some of those death camps were, from your 9- and 10-year-old memories of being there through a child's eyes, what are some of the worst things you remember seeing?
Well, seeing is that every minute of the day you have seen some corpse lying around somewhere, and you've become so accustomed to it that it didn't even faze you. What I would like to share is any child that has had a bad experience in their lives, and if you multiply it by every minute of the day for 3 years, day and night, to have this fear with you continuously is what I have experienced.
How could you, as a 9 and 10-year-old, absorb the reasons? You know, 9 and 10-year-old kids are always saying, why? You know, they never go away. Why, Daddy? Why? And the dad gives an answer, well, why? And then another answer, well, why? So here you are in a concentration camp where I imagine those questions, at least when you arrived, ran through your head like they would any child's. How did you come to answer those questions? What did your 9 and 10-year-old mind make of what was going on?
Well, you begin to accept everything that is happening around you when you see the people around you with the fear on their faces and what was happening to you, that you were slowly made into not a human being, but more as a, even an animal is not treated that way. Our names were taken away from us. I have a number on my arm, and that's how I was identified. In other words, I was completely dehumanized, and that happened very slowly. And a child accepts these things when people around her accept it. And I was fortunate enough to have my mother with me, and that kept me sane.
She was in Auschwitz at the same time that you were.
My mother and I came into Auschwitz together, but then we were separated, and I was taken to Mengele's block, and my mother was sent out to another camp with a transport. So I was on my own.
How long were you separated from your mother?
I believe my mother left Auschwitz sometimes in November, and that's where my desire to live left me at the same time, and I didn't really care what was happening to me, and I didn't care where they took me and what they did to me.
You were with in the under the overseeing of Dr. Joseph Mengele, of course.
Correct.
who was known for conducting medical experiments, particularly on children. Did you see any of that? Were you asked to participate in any of that?
Well, you were not exactly asked to.
Right, I guess that's a bad way of putting it.
Right,
yeah.
he would come into, or his assistants would come into the into our barracks, and he would give us wonderful stories about where they're taking us. That where they're taking us, we'll have a lot of bread, we'll have chocolate, we'll have grass, we'll hear birds singing again, and naturally, quite a number of us would go to the hospital where he did whatever he did to us. At this point in my life, I just didn't care what happened to me. So it didn't matter if I stayed in the block or if I went with his with him or with his representatives. So I did not go. There was a time when I was taken to the to his hospital, and I really blocked it out of my mind. I really don't know what happened there. Whether I choose not to remember, or I don't know. But the next thing I know, I was back in the regular blocks with my children.
Do you remember seeing on some of the other children the effects of some of his experiments? What did he do to them?
Well, I didn't see what he did to them. I saw when they came back into the block, they wouldn't speak. They were sitting in the corner and holding either their stomach or their arms, or some of them couldn't see well. We just shunned them because it was very painful for us, and we knew what was waiting for us. We knew that that is what may happen to us. We didn't know what he did to them. Mm. We just saw the results.
And during the day, as we're talking to Ruth Weber, who was in Auschwitz, the death camp from 1944 until its liberation, which is being commemorated today, the 60-year anniversary of that, in the moving about of the camp, did you see people actually shot or killed in front of you? I know you talked about seeing corpses, but were children exposed the same as everybody else to, someone just moved wrong, they got shot or stabbed, or just for the fun of it, they sick the dogs on them, or other sorts of torturing and dehumanizing
Absolutely.
Behavior?
It was such a normal event in my life that my mother would turn my face away, so I wouldn't really see all of it. But I saw it. I saw it.
In the years that have passed, when I've talked to Holocaust survivors, they always say that it doesn't matter how many years passed, at night when they sleep, the dreams come back, and they're still, in their 60s, 70s, 80s, are still waking up yelling in the middle of the night, that they never got it out of their head. Has that happened with you?
Yes, especially when I am asked to speak about it, as you are asking me now to do. I don't offer myself, but when I am asked, I feel my obligation for the ones that did not survive to speak about the horrors and the inhumanity that humans can do to others. It's just unbelievable. I mean, it's even hard for me when I think back how cruel some people can be.
How has it made you feel, how did it and how has it in the years that passed, about your Judaism, about your religion? Because this, of course, was the reason that, given for your being there. Did it strengthen your ties to your religion? Did it make you ashamed? Did it make you nervous about ever? I know a lot of people changed their names when they after the Holocaust because they didn't want anybody to identify them as Jewish. What was your take on it?
I was a child, so it isn't that I had strong beliefs as such, but I was brought up in a very traditional home. I had the warmth of a family that believed and that observed everything. And during the war, Mother would reinforce that and tell me how nice things were and try to keep me, my memory at least, happy and to counteract the the terrible things that were happening around me. When, after the liberation, I felt comfort in the traditions, whether I believe in this God or that God, I do believe in a supreme being.
Mm-hmm.
And I am very comfortable in my religion.
There was never a point where you said to yourself, how could there be a God and that God allow something like the Holocaust to happen?
Well, I may have said it only because I was repeating what other people said
mm-hmm.
around me. I also have something that's ringing in my ears constantly still, and that's another reason why I do speak about it, is people would say around me when these horrific things were happening, when the killing around us was happening, and the smoke was going up through the chimneys and the smell of burning flesh, were it's so sweet that at times we weren't even hungry because of it. All you would hear is, this really cannot be happening. Humans cannot be so cruel to others. Somebody has to survive to talk about it. And that is something that I keep hearing over and over again in my dreams, in my thoughts, and all these people that have not survived, including all our family except my mother. I'm sorry.
Oh, please don't apologize. I think everybody who's listening understands the emotion that it takes, and I apologize to you for simply because of a date on a calendar needing to bring this up. But by the same token, perhaps you are that person who survived to tell the story to other people.
Well, I believe that maybe that is the reason why I survived, and that I survived to be fortunate enough to have a good life and to have children and to have grandchildren, and they're all well. And I have so much pleasure, I guess, for all these people that don't exist, that as if they never existed.
Six million Jews were killed in that. I'm sure when you consider those numbers and your personal stories, when you hear people, as I'm sure you have over the years, say that, well, the Holocaust wasn't that bad, or the Holocaust was fiction, or it was something made up, how do you react when you hear that type of thing?
Well, in spite of the fact that I experienced it, and I dream about it, and I live a lot of it, I don't have the heart to wish it on them that it should ever happen again, that they should be in that kind of a situation. I really don't. But I think that these people don't know what it is like to accept other people's differences. And I think this is the trouble. Or the different color of skin on somebody and have such a hate for them. Anybody that can say that this did not happen, and what is happening in the world now, is a person that cannot accept and understand other people's differences. Mm. And I feel sorry for them to not have a feeling to be able to enjoy everyone, no matter what their color of their skin or what their religion is.
Ruth Weber was 9 years old when she went to Auschwitz in 1944, and this is the 60th anniversary of the liberation of the Auschwitz death camp in 1945. Ruth, I thank you for taking time to talk with us. I know this was painful on a lot of levels, but I think very worthwhile for the people who got a chance to hear your story. I thank you.
Thank you.
We'll continue here on the Mitch Albom program.